Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Whether you're a pistachio purist who loves the experience of cracking them open, or you love the convenience of no-shell pistachios like myself, Wonderful Pistachios is the perfect healthy snack for when hunger strikes. And there are a bunch of tasty flavors to choose from too, like honey roasted, smoky barbecue, jalapeno lime, and more. Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Sirius XM Radio presents, in conjunction with House of Athlete, I Am Athlete Tonight.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to I Am Athlete Tonight. I'm Ashley Nicole Moss, and I am joined now by former Pro Bowl defensive back Brandon Flowers, part-time superhero. Who wrote this script? Omar?
No, I didn't.
I'm just going to read what they wrote. I didn't just, I like it. Just stand go. By here. Part-time superhero and co-host of I Am Athlete Tonight, Omar Kelly. That we're going to have to dive into that a little bit later. I'm not quite sure what exactly that means.
My superpowers are?
What is it?
Truth-telling.
All right. Well, listen, what's up, guys? We're in studio, so we're all face to face. I'm not in here with just me and Ed sitting in silence. You know, he's not super talkative, but that's okay. We got a full house today. And listen, we have a lot to discuss. We're going to discuss, obviously, the New England Patriots, their season, their upcoming season. A stalemate between my New York Knicks and the Utah Jazz in the hunt for Donovan Mitchell in true Knicks fashion. Can't get it done, apparently. Nick Saban just got another bag, not that he needs it. And we're going to try to define exactly what a superstar is. A lot of talk on Twitter about that. But first and foremost, the biggest news of the day, the least shocking news of the day, I should say. Also, Kevin Durant and the Brooklyn Nets have kissed and made up. He will remain in Brooklyn and play for the team this upcoming season and probably for 3 more seasons after that, seeing how he is under contract. Now, look, after months of trade talks, Kevin Durant will stay in Brooklyn with the Nets after meeting with Joe Tsai and his wife, general manager Sean Marks, and head coach Steve Nash. The Brooklyn Nets tweeted out a statement, and it basically said that the group met in Los Angeles and they have agreed to move forward with their partnership, and they are focusing on basketball, and the collective goal is still to bring a championship to Brooklyn. Now, this is definitely a complete turnaround from the events of the offseason, right? Kevin Durant, as we all know, requested a trade, and then a couple of weeks later, he went ahead and gave Brooklyn an ultimatum and said, Marks and Nash go or I go. And in between that, a lot of trade talk, a lot of trade packages were thrown out into the NBA world. You know, Boston Celtics, Toronto Raptors, Miami Heat were some of the teams that were in the mix, but nothing stuck. Nothing was going to satisfy Brooklyn, apparently. And Kevin Durant is right back where he started from. So I'm going to start with you, Omar. What do you make of this Kevin Durant situation? It's obviously the least surprising news of the day, I would say.
So you want me to believe that you said, I don't want to be with you no more. I don't want to play for you no more. Even if I decide that I'm going to stay and be with you no more, you got to kick out your mama and your auntie.
Wow.
And from out the house.
This sounds a little too clear. And you know the flow of this a little too well. Have you been here before?
One time divorce. But you're telling me that we're staying together for the kids. My ultimatum is you got to make all these things happen for me to stay.
Right.
And then you say, I'm not doing nothing. And I say, okay, I'm going to stay and I'm going to be happy now.
Yeah. See, that was my thing. And Brandon, definitely hop in this, because I want to ask you as a former player, like my thing was this. First and foremost, I didn't think Kevin Durant was going anywhere. The market, there was just not enough that Brooklyn was ever going to get to equal a Kevin Durant. You know, the market.
what equals a Kevin Durant?
I mean, more than what a lot of, and this is, I've spoken about this on this show a few times. It was a few situations. One, it was a lot of teams have kind of gone through the trenches, the dark ages, if you will, and built their teams up from the ground up. They're very comfortable where they are. They have a lot of young talent, promising talent, and have done well and will continue hopefully to stay on that trajectory. Look at Boston, for example.
Yep.
So while on paper, any team in the NBA wants a Kevin Durant, but are you willing to do, but do you need him enough to do what was needed to do to get him? I said no to that. And then also look, like, at the end of the day, you are under contract. It's not like you can just go ahead and say
in the NBA, they can.
But my biggest thing, let's go back to the coach and the ultimatum, because that was a thing that kind of was like, this is not going to go too well. Brandon, I want to ask you, if you gave the front office an ultimatum and said it's either them, meaning GM and coach, or it's me, and they said, well, we're not firing these guys, and you said, well, then I'm leaving, and now you're back exactly where you started. Is that relationship awkward? I know they had the meeting. I know they had the sit down Godfather style and they hashed it out like the five families. Cool. But if you're Steve Nash, now I'm looking at you like you're now. If I'm Steve Nash, I'm looking at Katie like he's the ops now. Like, I can't really trust you. Like, our relationship's weird now.
I don't think it's that deep, because I think they know Kevin Durant personality. Like, he doesn't come into a franchise and say, this is my home, this is where I want to be. He has the vibe where it's like,
really?
Yo, yeah, he has the vibe. Like, let's go hoop here. I like my guys.
Like, OKC was his, like, he felt like it was home for him.
He did. But when guys start saying, it's Russ the guy, it's KD the guy, it was never his show. Right. So he's just like, I'm going somewhere where I can hoop and have fun and I can try to win a championship.
He's a nomad, is what you're saying.
Pretty much.
And you know, he's a flight risk.
He's not even a flight risk, because you know all he want to do is hoop. So when he demanded these things, I don't think they took it as literal, like, you not leaving for real. Like, you're not even going to hold out. You're not going to sit out. You're going to play because you love basketball that much.
Let me ask you this then. It was reported initially that Steve Nash was not the coach that KD or Kyrie Irving wanted. Kyrie allegedly wanted Phil Handy, and KD allegedly wanted Ty Lue. Obviously, that didn't happen. Steve Nash was the guy that they got. So if that's true, and the ultimatum conversation is true, which it seems like it was because Josiah put that tweet out, is there a little bit of underlining awkwardness going into training camp when it's like, listen, you were the ultimatum that was ultimately going to make me leave had a trade come in? Because I'm a firm believer, had a trade come in and Brooklyn was like, we're not getting rid of Steve Nash or Marks, Katie was like, all right, well, I'm out. But a trade never came in. So it's kind of like, well, this is the situation at hand now.
This is why I don't think that's the case, because us athletes know business is business, right?
Right.
I'm under contract at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
I can't hold out and sit out for 4 years. And it's not all on me if it goes bad. Like, Kyrie wanted out too. Like, we both was like saying some crazy stuff.
So. Kyrie, Harden.
Like, yeah, everybody wanted out. They have that going on there. So it's not just like,
well,
it was never
proven that Kyrie wanted out. It was a rumor, but it actually never, there was no proof. This was concrete proof that Kevin Durant requested a trade.
I guarantee you they told Kevin Durant this. Listen, you didn't play with Kyrie or Ben Simmons last year. Let's just get 1 year under our belt and see if it works. If it don't, KD, you can pick your head coach. If we don't let you pick your head coach next year, you can go. You can pout. You can say you want out again. We'll let you have your
wishes. Do you think that conversation happened in front of Steve Nash? Or
definitely not.
Listen, if he doesn't do what he's supposed to do with a full team, I will cut him next week. You think that happened?
At the same time, this is Kevin Durant. This is maybe the best player in the NBA. You got to get this guy what he wants. You got to have that conversation with him and say, listen, I understand this isn't your team totally, but just trust us. Just give us this 1 year. Look at the roster we built. They might have the best roster in the East. If Ben Simmons comes and plays, they're pretty deep.
I still think it belongs to Boston.
Hold on, I don't know.
They getting some.
You're putting so much weight on Ben Simmons comes to play. When's the last time Ben Simmons came to play and was actually good?
Do they need him to
hold
score?
On.
They
when
need him
Ben to defend. Simmons is at his best.
Talking about a rookie of the year.
Right. Ben Simmons has never been an offensive powerhouse, but that man can guard 1 through 5 with his eyes closed and both hands behind his back. Like, he, when he is on point defensively, he is on point. You cannot take that away from him. Offensively, his game has a lot of holes. And that is because I feel, and I've always felt, he does not do the work in the offseason to make the strides he needs to and the things he's not good at. And that's not being a hater. You see that his game offensively hasn't really changed since when he got into the league.
But if Ben Simmons wanted to get to the basket, nobody's stopping him, right? It's all in his head.
I mean, if you want to talk layups.
It doesn't matter.
He's not shooting mid-range.
But is Giannis a great mid-ranger three-point shooter? No.
But he's gotten better.
Yes.
That's the thing. And Ben Simmons, this is the year to prove, like, have you gotten better? Because we know what you can do on the other side of the ball. I know what you can do defensively. But if there's a situation where, say, Kyrie's not playing, Kevin Durant's hurt. I mean, it happens. Can you go ahead and make up some of those points? I don't know if I have the confidence in him to do
all
that.
All you need is Ben Simmons to give you 16. And he can give you 16. And you're okay. Golden. Because Kyrie, and you don't want too many guys that need the ball on the court anyway.
So that's true. That's
fair. It kind of helps your offense that he doesn't need the ball like a Harden as that third to say, hey, I need my points. It's just like.
But the strength of Kyrie, Harden, and Durant, although we didn't see it the way we wanted to, was that all three of them can score. You had a literal big three when you needed to offensively. If they had been able to all play together, you know for a fact. Those guys, bare minimum, we're going to give you 20 points. Bare minimum.
I can't wait to see Ben Simmons, like, just show everybody.
I hope he does. I like Ben Simmons.
I can't wait because I'm telling you.
You sound like a believer. I'm not.
I'm a believer.
I always try
when
to
you got back issues and mental issues, and I understand you wanted to not participate in playing for a team that really didn't feel you or wasn't in love with you. But when you got back issues, and even with your new team, You found every excuse in the world why you couldn't play and couldn't grace the court. Is your heart really in what you're doing?
I think it
is. I guess only time will tell, right? Yeah. But listen, speaking of issues, Pat Bev has some issues with Kevin Durant because he tweeted out after the news that KD and Brooklyn were kumbaya once again. He was not, feeling it. He said in his tweet, y'all can sit and don't say nothing, but that ain't cool. It's dudes with families out here who haven't gotten a job because of this KD shit. And to be on and off ain't cool. Blessings, gang. And KD, doing what he does best, and that's troll on Twitter, went ahead and quote tweeted it, #BlameKD. So, Brandon, what do you make of this back and forth these two?
This Pat Bev being Pat Bev, right? He liked to be a pest. He liked to talk his talk. But let's not get this confused. There's not going to be no kind of rivalry between Pat Bev and KD. Like, KD is who he is. This is him. He going to let you know how he feel. Like you said, he going to troll on Twitter. If anybody clap at him, he going to clap back. I wanted to get out of there. So what? I'm going to still come and hoop, and I might still get NBA MVP. It is nothing nobody can do about it.
Well, diving deeper into that tweet, though, do you think there's any merit to what Pat Bev said? He's basically saying in so many words that KD stalled the market because everyone was on pins and needles waiting to see what happened with Kevin Durant, if they were able to go ahead and even acquire additional players after maybe even potentially getting him. So Pat Bev is basically saying, look, a lot of guys don't have opportunities now to play in the NBA because you went ahead and basically held the market hostage for X amount of weeks.
It is not KD's fault, right? Okay. He's looking out for the best for KD. Like, he don't care if he had to set out another month. And then a day before the season starts, like, if I can get what I want, I can't worry about what everybody else.
It really only impacts about, what, 5 teams that might be in the market for that trade or might be close to delivering it or might be trying to free up some money. So I really don't think Pat Beverly has much of a point there. I mean, he wasn't holding up. Is Kevin Durant holding up Carmelo Anthony's deal?
Not at all.
I don't think so. So it doesn't make any sense to me, but hey, say what you got to say. Shoot your bullets, KD. I mean, we blame KD. I think you can use that hashtag for just about anything now.
What's that Kanye song? I miss the old Kanye.
the sensitive on social Kanye. Media is the new, is the old and the new Kevin Durant.
Right. I mean, it's going to be interesting. Definitely. You know, we kind of touched upon this when, you know, Kevin Durant initially requested the trade. It's going to be interesting, though, not with the Pat Bev situation, but more so how this affects the mindset of owners going into that new CBA, because they don't do well with ultimatums. They don't. People with money have very big egos. And the more money you have, the bigger that ego is. And they don't like being told what to do. They were already, and we've spoken about this, Brandon, you were actually in the show when we had the conversation initially. They were already apprehensive or unhappy with the fact that they're giving out these massive contracts and guys are requesting trades after a season, two seasons, because it's not an instant championship. Now you take the saga of a player not only requesting a trade on a 4-year max deal, or just a 4-year deal, it's not a max, and then giving his owner an ultimatum. Owners are going to be at that CBA table like, how are we going to make sure this does not happen again? Because this is not okay. Like, Omar,
it's the main reason why the NFL is resistant and insistent that we will never be the NBA. And the players will never have that power, that authority, that control. And slowly, it's trickling to the point where the Russell Wilsons and the Aaron Rodgers and the Tom Brady have gained a little power and gained a little control and gained a little leverage. And they're just like, won't like this. Won't feel it. We ain't feeling it. We can't be the NBA.
Wow.
But the NBA can't come back, can't take steps back from that. Now, not everybody has Kevin Durant or LeBron James power.
No, absolutely not.
I mean, maybe there are. I think Chris Paul has Chris Paul power.
I think there's probably, I would say, 10 guys in the NBA who have that kind of power.
But, you know, the cat's out of the bag now. You can't. What are you going to do with the CBA to roll it back?
Let me ask y'all this. Do y'all really think the Nets was really trying to deal KD?
Or that's a good. I really don't. Here's my thing. I get where you're coming from. I really don't think this kumbaya, we all happy together, make it work.
It's gonna last?
I don't think it's real.
Oh, okay.
I'm not buying a plot twist. No, I'm not buying it.
Where
because
are you going with this?
He went as far as saying, if I am going to stay, I need the GM and the coach fired. Yeah. He drew a line in the sand.
You can't
undraw the line in the sand.
You can't just take your foot and be like, I mean that. That's not what I meant.
What will happen is he'll say, well, I didn't say that. I don't know how I got out there like that. Like, you know, but I'm sorry. That's not how it works.
That's what I started off by saying. Like, I don't really get how you undo that awkwardness, because it's like, yeah, sure. We sat down and you told me how you felt and I told you how I felt and we reached
kumbaya.
Great. But there's always in the back of my mind and Sean Marks's mind is this guy wanted me out. And that was going to be the only thing that kept him from reneging on his trade request. Or that was the only thing that was going to get him to renege on his trade request. I don't even know how you coach in a full level of comfort. I would constantly be on pins and needles in some way, shape, or form, knowing like any wrong move I make, Katie's going to whisper in Josiah's ear, like, I told you I want this man back. Look, you see that school? Listen, get rid of him.
I think we're putting too much on how much the GMs and the coaches kind of interact with the players. Like, we had general managers that
This is not the NFL.
Right.
This is the NBA.
Well, they are around these dudes all the time. Sean Marks will interact with Kevin Durant as much as Steve Nash does.
Yes.
I mean, Steve Nash,
you're talking about flights every 3 times a week.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Bus trips to hotels, hotel in the lobby. You don't have to say one word
to them, and you can still go on the court and perform. I've been in locker rooms where guys don't speak to the general manager. The general manager will come before the football game, shake everybody's hand. You'll see guys like, I'm not holding my hand out and I'm not shaking your hand. And you in the meetings and you in the building every day. Head coach, don't say anything to me because we don't get along. But you would never know the way they play
on
the
field. In the NFL, where it's a 50-plus man roster and there's so many different coaches for so many different positions. And even within those positions, there are coaches for smaller subdivisions of those positions. I mean, we're talking basketball where it's like 12 guys, 15 guys 15 on a team. Guys. There's not that yeah. much room.
It's
There's
like,
not
it's, like room it's like 25 like, people on the flight. Like,
but if there's anybody feeling awkward, it's going to be the upper management. Kate, let's not be crazy. KD kind of the player. This is a player's league. You think KD go be on?
No, pins? I don't like, think KD. Yeah, he gonna walk around like, yeah, I said it. As a head coach, and speaking about, this is Steve Nash, I think it's going to make it a little bit more uncomfortable.
He
to
knew
do
that
your
last
job.
Year when Kyrie said we don't need a coach. Like, yeah, but we don't even need a coach. Like, I don't even know why he's here.
That's different. I mean, but that's different than saying, like, saying I don't need a coach is because you have Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. At the end of the day, like, sometimes, and this is no knock to coaches in the NFL, I mean, the NBA, sometimes when you're coaching superstars, you're technically just a game manager. Like, these guys know what they're doing. So I don't know if that's something that makes you as uncomfortable as your star player giving the owner an ultimatum and saying, he goes or I go. Like, I don't even know how you coach like fully comfortable in knowing that that transpired in the offseason. Like, you have to look this man in the face. That's like literally saying, like, Omar opened up. That's basically like your girl coming to you and be like, either your boy goes or I go, and you don't get rid of either one of them, and now they're all like hanging out. It's weird. Like, how do you get past that awkwardness? You know what I mean?
It's like telling somebody you hate their mother, and then all of a sudden the mother moves in. Like, like, how you make that work?
I mean, listen, only time will tell, but it's definitely going to be an interesting NBA season, and we're not that far away. Training camp is just weeks away. So
he's traded by the deadline. He's traded by the deadline.
You think so?
We don't make. You can't make. You can't undo that.
You can't erase the line.
No, you can't erase the line.
Winning always eliminates any distraction.
That it does. Winning takes away a lot of animosity. So,
the longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I Am Athlete Tonight presents Countdown to Kickoff.
First and foremost, thank you to Patriots Radio on Sirius XM for that soundbite of Mac Jones' four-yard touchdown pass to Kendrick Bourne. And also Patriots Training Camp Tour on NFL Radio for both of those soundbites. One from Mac Jones, one from Bill Belichick. This is I Am Athlete Tonight. I'm Ashley Nicole Moss, Omar Kelly, Brandon Flowers, and we are focusing on the New England Patriots in this segment, Countdown to Kickoff. And listen, it's going to be an interesting season for the Patriots. They were once a dynasty, obviously, during the Tom Brady era. And now it's time to learn just how good of a coach Bill Belichick is. Last season, the Patriots finished 10-7 and advanced to the playoffs, where they got smizzacked by the Bills. Now, Mac Jones will be returning as quarterback, obviously, completing 67% of throws, over 3,000 yards, 22 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. Now, interesting enough, he no longer has Josh McDaniels as his quarterback whisperer, as they called him, because he's now with the Las Vegas Raiders, pushing him to be a louder quarterback, assuming more of a leadership role on his own accord. So Omar, how do you think Matt Jones is going to do without Josh McDaniels whispering in his ear, giving him that confidence that every QB needs, especially those young ones?
Last I checked, they had a defensive coordinator and a defensive specialist serving as the offensive coordinator-ish kind of there. He doesn't really have a title. So Matt Patricia, and I do believe in the Bill Belichick way, where he's about teaching everybody to do everything. And he's had, you know, I remember talking to Brian Flores, and Brian Flores basically worked at every level of the organization before he became the defensive coordinator, even though he really wasn't calling plays. But that's the Belichick way. So until you get, I do believe that there are quarterback whispers. I do believe that there are coaches out there who specifically can whisper these last second instructions into the ear of a quarterback to, hey, look for this. Look for B Flowers. He likes to jump on this route.
I've been called the quarterback whisperer.
I want to probe that a little bit later. give me a minute. I'm just not believing. I'm not a believer in Mac Jones.
Oh,
I'm
no mac and cheese for you, huh?
No, I think he's, if you're going to say that Tua is a mediocre quarterback. Tua is an average quarterback in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's just put it there. The arm is average. He comes from this, you know, paint by numbers, RPO offense. Mm-hmm. Mac Jones is the same thing. Arms average, comes from this paint by numbers offense. He just had a better coach, and that it helped the, and a better team, and it helped them win, you know, and get to the playoffs 10-7. But now that he doesn't have the coach, keep in mind, Mac Jones was the number three quarterback at Alabama. And I know he shattered all these records and was phenomenal when he did get his opportunity, but he's a limited player, and I'm not a big believer.
I agree with everything you just said. Oh, and I think the thing that is going to make Mac Jones take a step back is I don't think whoever's calling the plays will call him the whole year, right? It can start off as Matt Patricia, and then if Belichick doesn't like it, I think Belichick will switch that up. So I don't even think Mac Jones will feel like, yeah, I have my guy I can go to, and he knows what I'm thinking, and he's going to call the plays just for me. And if stuff get like out of whack early, like they are going to stick with him, and this is what we're going to do. It's like, it's going to be so much change, and we give Belichick a little bit too much credit. Because when he do things like this, he still had Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. And they still won games. Absolutely. And they still won the playoffs. Right? Anything.
Tom Brady was a stabilizing presence.
He was a stabilizer. Like, they never really drafted well. But it's like,
they did not.
It's like, it's the Patriots, though. Like, so it's good because it's the Patriots. They're going to find a way to make it work because Tom Brady did his thing over there, right? So now I'm sitting back and I'm looking at all this unravel without Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. And it's looking like a disaster to me.
It's interesting because we're watching the film of Mac Jones in the studio right now. And when he has time to throw the ball, it's decent. You know, he a lot of the times gets to, you know, where he needs to go ahead and get to. But I think also one of the things that we notice when the pocket collapses is when it, you know, it all goes haywire for him. He doesn't seem to understand, all right, where am I going? What am I doing? Who am I doing it with? So the offensive line lost both starting guards, Ted Karras and Shaq Mason. How is that going to affect Mac Jones this season?
That does so much for a quarterback. It messes with your clock, right? When you're used to being comfortable in the pocket and you think you have 3.5 seconds, and especially in practice, right? When you can't get hit, you feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But when them live bullets come and your guy's not there and they start disguising on defenses, and those vets usually pick up everything that comes last minute, when they're not there anymore, it's going to speed his clock up, right? And it's going to be, I'm telling you, it's going to be a rough start for this Patriots offense. And I'm interested to see what Belichick does, because when he gets asked who's going to call the plays, he always just say it's a process. Like, he's not even trying to tip anybody off to let them know who's going to be the guy, right? So, like I said before, I think that's going to change. He's not going to have his O-line in there, and he's coming with a new receiving core, per se. So,
well, Omar, I want to ask you about a name that you're familiar with, DeVante Parker. You know, will he be able to become a number one receiver with the Patriots after producing only 1,000-yard season in Miami? And given the fact that Mac Jones has lost two starting guards, it's going to be a lot harder for him. Like Brandon said, that clock's going to be all haywire. Yeah. You don't have your quarterback whisper. It's going to require you to think a lot faster on your feet. Is DeVante even going to see a lot of those touches from his quarterback, or are they going to result in a lot of it's just not happening?
Devontae Parker has never been a number one receiver. He's always been a number two. He's had one healthy season in the NFL. So let's put injury aside. Mm-hmm. I have never covered a receiver in my career who is never open like Devontae Parker. He's literally never open.
Wow.
You have to throw him. He doesn't run good routes. You have to just throw the ball in a position where he can catch it, given him opportunity. But he doesn't run crisp routes. He doesn't create separation. He's always covered. You just have to trust it. And I don't think Mac Jones is going to trust it. For anybody out there who plays fantasy football, and I don't live in that world and I don't live in that space, if you think Devontae Parker is going to have a phenomenal season, I got some real estate in Idaho, some beachfront property in Idaho that you might be interested in, because it's fool's gold.
I can get you a mansion somewhere in Wisconsin. Was it T-Pain said?
Yeah. Listen.
It's going to be a culture shock for him going over there, right? Like how you mentioned, he had a hard time staying healthy, right? When you get into New England, what do you hear? We practice so hard. We practice so long. Like, that wears on your body even more, right? So that's going to be like something else he got to worry about. Like, just trying to be available.
That organization is just so, and I've said this for years, and Patriots fan used to, like, get on me so bad on Twitter. It's so poorly run from a front office standpoint. And
why you say that?
Because the decisions that they make, like even going in and trading for Devontae Parker and like that being the wide receiver that you're
leading, had to get somebody.
I mean, that's not my choice. That wouldn't be my top five choice. A receiver that the Miami Dolphins is throwing away is what you want to pick up.
But you know the Patriots. We know what you don't know.
Yeah, like, of course.
We know what you don't know. We did the same thing with Wes Welker.
I've watched Devontae Parker for 7 years. There is nothing that I don't know, and he is never open.
Did you think Wes Welker was going to be Wes Welker?
He was a productive playmaker in Miami and an asset that they didn't want to trade away, but they got too much for him.
If Devontae Parker stayed healthy, I think we'll have a different opinion. Well, I like Devontae Parker, but I think we'll look at him maybe as that number one receiver, not a top 15, yeah, top 10 number one, but he's like a guy where it's like, hey, I got him out there. Like, I can trust him, like you said. So I think if he goes over there and he can just stay healthy and, you know, like
which
we
is
said,
never happening.
Like New England, like they just think they can.
Yeah, no.
Their
touch. I mean, but remember, that touch was with Tom Brady.
It was.
Tell me, in the last 2 years, who have they put that New England touch on that all of a sudden that guy's just resurrected his career or become? It certainly wasn't Cam Newton.
Super Cam. This is I Am Athlete Tonight. I'm Ashley Nicole Moss, Omar Kelly, Brandon Flowers, the New England Patriots. And guys, before we move on to the defense, I want to ask you, how do they go ahead and make up for the loss of Shaq Mason on the offensive line to help that young QB out a little bit? What's the game plan?
They drafted Cole Strange. This was one of the strangest things about the 2021 draft is they selected a offensive guard in the first round that most teams did not have on their board for the second day.
Wow.
And that's what they do.
They're looking for the diamond in the rough, Omar.
Absolutely. And that's part of the New England magic and process. And I mean, to the point where the Los Angeles Rams were doing a press conference and they saw it happen on the screen, mm-hmm, and they started laughing. The GM and the coach started laughing and chuckling. They're like, yeah, Patriots doing the Patriots thing. And they just thought it was hilarious. They're like, we had him on our board like day three. But you're putting a lot of faith in a young rookie. And he's right now working with the starting unit. And I believe that you can start young players like that. But is it always going to pan out? Are you not going to have struggles? I think Trent Brown, as much as I admire him and think he's a phenomenal tackle, what's he checking in at camp right now from a weight standpoint? Where is he from a health standpoint? That you know what happens, Brandon, when you lose your left tackle, that whole line starts feeling that pressure and that stress. So where is that team going to be from an offensive line standpoint? Are they going to be a run heavy dominant team? I just don't know.
It's just too much for the Patriots to overcome, right? Having a new signal caller. They don't really trust Mac Jones. When you let him throw three times in a game, like, they don't fully trust him like that as it is, right? So I just think it's just too much for this offense to overcome, you know, especially early in the season. Maybe week 7, week 8, they can get into rhythm, see who they are, have an identity, and see this is what we do well. Maybe they can start making a push, but it's not going to look good for the Patriots starting out early this season.
Well, we're going to move on to the other side of the ball that you're very familiar with, the defense. Listen, New England had one of the top defensive units in the NFL for the 2021 season, but they struggled after the break, losing 4 of the 5 final games, resulting in a playoff loss. Brandon, what went wrong with that defense, and have they corrected their issues?
I just think it was on the field too much, right? Mm. For defensive guys, like, it doesn't matter how good you are as a unit. When you start to get on the field more and more, you're going to start breaking down. And you're going to start showing your tendencies on film. And they give the offense more opportunities to see how to attack you, right? That's the only thing that happened with the Patriots. They're a defensive team. I mean, with Jabril Peppers coming in, you team him up with Adrian.
He's coming off an ACL.
Yeah, but the way ACLs are now, he's going to be good as new, right? He's a ball hawk. I think he's going to be a good addition back there with Adrian Phillips. They play a lot of defensive backs. I think the defensive side of the ball, like, they're going to be the team, the side of the ball that holds this team together, right? They need to go on that run where they're not giving up more than 13, 14 points at the beginning of the season to give them a chance to win. I think they can do it with the additions they have.
Yeah, I think the addition of Malcolm Butler's, when you lose a J.C. Jackson, who's arguably, I would say, conservatively a top 5 cornerback in the NFL. He went out and he got his money from the Los Angeles Chargers, and who replaces him but a former Patriots cornerback in Malcolm Butler, who once went out, left the Patriots nest to go get his bag. I think it'll help, especially since he knows the system. It'll help mask some of these deficiencies. But I think they had some other key losses, like Kyle Van Noy. That linebacker unit is just not necessarily a point where I think they should be or are comfortable. You know, who really can you rely on in that linebacking unit to sort of carry the weight of that defense?
The Patriots find somebody every year.
Yeah,
their linebacker unit is never the problem over there in New England. Their defense really is never the problem. So I have so much confidence in their. That's the only thing I'm confident in the Patriots team is their defense right now.
Well, we can't talk about their defense without talking about Jalen Mills. So who's claiming that starting quarterback position opposite to him? Is there anybody that you've had your eye on you think would make a nice little tandem there?
I don't think there's any. I don't think there's any options, to be honest with you. I really think that the Patriots have done such a poor job at roster building, roster management, talent procurement.
Especially with a young quarterback. It does not seem like they're doing nearly what they did with Tom Brady.
They spent a lot of money in the 2000 offseason to sort of replenish the roster after the year after Brady. And, I didn't think that it was a wise spend, a lot of the decisions that they made. And while they're still winning, I think that this is the year they come right back to the pack. And they're right down there with the New York Jets in terms
they're
of
they're not that far.
I am not.
Jalen Rose, Water Pistol P.
The Jets?
Yeah. I don't think they're a good roster. From top to bottom, I don't think they're a good roster. You can't name me 5 players on that team that every team in the NFL would want. That would say yes. That's
my sound effect.
Been the Patriots though. That has always.
Tom Brady.
But their defense always played.
Gronkowski.
Their defense always played.
J.C. Jackson.
James White.
James,
disrespect James White as a running back. Come on now, he did some things for the organization. Let's not pretend.
The Patriots still gonna be an 8-9 win team for sure. Like, you put them with the Jets, he's gonna win 3 games this year.
I'm sorry, but if that's disrespectful that I'm putting you with the Jets, I would say 7 wins. set probably a step up above the Jets, because 7 wins is in that realm of 10 and 7 and 10. I think they'll go from 10 and 7 last year to 7 and 10 this year.
Yeah.
All right. Well, before we close out this segment, then let me ask you, I'll start with you, Brandon, most important piece for the New England Patriots heading into this new season.
It's Bill Belichick. He got to show up, right? Because this team has been doing nothing but descending since Tom Brady left. We have a lot of questions off his draft.
I mean, it's
like
hard to go
before.
From Brady to.
I mean, hey,
it's hard not to descend.
They
want to
name the Coach of the Year trophy after you. So
that's what I'm saying.
I'm just saying, like, he's Bill Belichick, but he's not like, you know, Harry Houdini. Like,
the way it's looking is like the Patriots not going to see the playoffs for the next 2 to 3 years. The way it's looking,
depending on how Mac Jones plays and develops. And
that's why it's Bill Belichick for me. How are you going to navigate this offense, right? Because you're not naming an O coordinator. Like, I know in-house, you probably know what's going on and y'all got y'all thing in-house, but when
it's Matt Patricia in the headsets.
If Matt Patricia go 0-5 and he can't move the ball, you think Belichick not making a move? Like, he's not making a move?
Yes, he's absolutely making a move.
And that's why he's going to be the most important piece. He's going to have to figure out like what he's going to do on the offensive side of the ball to have some stability. If everything goes
run the ball, that's what he's going to do. He's going to run the ball. And to me, the most important piece is Mac Jones. And if Mac Jones takes a significant leap from year one to year two, they got a chance. They legitimately have a chance. If he shows that growth, that progression, if he reads defenses half a second faster than he read last year. But I personally believe that these defensive coordinators have a whole season of film. They have the book on him now. Mm-hmm. They're going to take away what his strengths are and force him to lean on his weaknesses. And I'm not sure he can handle that.
I Am Athlete Tonight is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. Support I Am Athlete Tonight with a 5-star rating and by leaving a review. That's a big deal, guys. Stop being lazy. Pick up your phones and leave a review and give us a 5-star rating. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Want more? Catch the full 2 hours of I Am Athlete Tonight weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Mad Dog Sports Radio, SiriusXM Channel 82. Go to SiriusXM.com/IAA Tonight Trial to start your free trial today.
SiriusXM Podcasts.